Good morning and welcome. We're glad you're here at the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville for this Lenten Sunday. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I'm pastor here and I'll be leading worship today. John McElhaney is our liturgist this morning. Earl Linhart is directing our choir. Lynn Meyer will be playing the organ. And we have a special guest this morning. Valerie Adams-Hildreth is playing the flute for us. And we're glad to have you, Valerie. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and leave it in one of the offering plates as we pass the offering later this morning. If you're visiting at home, I invite you to leave a message on our Facebook page. And if you want to know more about this congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. I have a few announcements to share this morning. First of all, the flowers are given by Mary Lee Jones in honor of our church family. We thank Mary Lee for that. There will be Discovery Zone for kids today at 4:30, and we would love to have the children of the church join us for an hour and a half of making friends and learning about Jesus. And we have finished with a wonderful dinner with everybody there. So if you have any kids, we'd be glad to have you. If you have questions, you can talk to Heather Hicks. As we move into Lent and through Lent, we look forward to Easter, and you might notice out on the table out there were sheets of paper for donating Easter lilies. So I invite you to pick one up and turn that into the church office or put it in the offering plate, and we'll be glad to include you for our Easter celebration. And thank you for contributing lilies. We have an orientation today for those who have been visiting our church. If you've been visiting, would like to learn more about our church and what its mission is, you're invited to join with me at the back of the sanctuary following the service. You can go get the cookies and you can go get a cup of coffee or tea or juice. Bring it to the back of the sanctuary. We'll have about a half hour and I'll answer your questions. We'll find out a little bit about you and give a tour of the church if you'd like that. We have welcomed back Lisa Tennant to be our primary nursery attendant, but as part of our efforts to create a safe and fun environment for our children, we need volunteers to help in the nursery on Sunday mornings. If you would be willing to help on a Sunday, make our nursery a more welcoming place, I invite you to talk to myself or to Heather and let us know. We'd be glad to have you. There's also a sign-up list in our sign-up book out that way. You'll notice that a couple of groups are meeting on Tuesday this week. The Presbyterian Nine Patchers will meet from 12 to 3, and the Ladies Night Out group will meet at 6:30 at Mimi's restaurant on Polaris Parkway. So, one last note, I will be on vacation next week, and while I'm gone, Reverend Heather Hicks will be available for pastoral care, and she'll also be preaching next Sunday. So, and I will be returning on Saturday, April 1st. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude. Thank you.
Let us join in the call to worship. Come, we are on a journey of faith during this season of Lent.
It's such a difficult journey,
and our strength is waning, and our courage is low. We do not travel alone. We travel as a community. Gain your strength by leaning on others. Find your courage by walking with friends.
The road we travel has many turns, and we have no map.
Let Christ be our guide. He has traveled the road. He holds a light to our path.
Let us journey.
Let us join in the prayer of confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are like open books, we confess that we have fallen short of your will for us. We have eaten our bread without concern for the hungry. We have warmed ourselves without thinking of those who are cold. We have prayed and enjoyed our faith without witnessing to those who do not know you. Forgive us, O God, and bestow upon us the mind of Christ. Help us become sensitive to the needs of your world and servants of all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God, our light and our salvation does not forsake or leave us with our sin. In Christ we are forgiven and offered the gift of healing repentance. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children that are here to come down and join me here in the front. Any idea what this is? A weight, isn't it? Want to feel how heavy it is? Pretty heavy, huh? You want to feel how heavy it is? Yeah. What about you? You want to feel how heavy it is? It's a weight. And you know what you use these for, right? To get stronger, use it to exercise, right? Some people exercise using weights. They might use them like this, you know, or they might do them above your head like this. That's right, you'd use weight. What are some other ways that people exercise? You got any? Running, sure. Running is a good exercise. Riding your bike is another good exercise. So those are all ways that people exercise their bodies, don't they? You know, we just heard the choir sing. They exercise their voices by practicing. Yeah, they do that, so they sing better. Isn't that right? So I was thinking, if you lift weights to exercise your body, what do you do to exercise your faith? I got something over here to lift to show you how to do that. Yeah. Here's what you lift if you want to exercise your faith. You know what these are? Bibles, that's right. So do you could do this, right? That'd help them. No, you exercise your faith by reading the Bible, don't you? And you guys have Bibles at home, I know, so you guys could read the Bible or get someone to read the Bible to you, and that way you could exercise your faith just like you exercise your body by running or lifting weights. Let us pray. Thank you, God, and help us to exercise our faith and our bodies and our minds so that we can all honor you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson comes from the 14th chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 14. Please listen for the word of God. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who has invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Thanks be to God.
Okay, before I start today, I need to address the elephant in the room. Yes, I did go to Purdue University for my undergraduate studies, and yes, I do follow Purdue sports, especially Purdue basketball. And yes, I was excited when Purdue won the Big Ten basketball tournament and got a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And yes, I bragged about it to my friends. And yes, I know that Purdue became only the second number one seed in the history of the tournament to lose in the first round. And yes, I was miserable on Friday night and most of Saturday. But I am over it now. And maybe our scripture, the passage that John read this morning, helped, particularly when I read it in the Message translation. This comes out of the middle of that passage. The Message translation goes like this. Jesus went on to tell a story to the guests around the table, noticing how each had tried to elbow into the place of honor. He said, "When someone invites you to dinner, don't take the place of honor. Somebody more important than you might have been invited by the host. Then he'll come and call out in front of everybody, 'You're in the wrong place. The place of honor belongs to this man.' Red-faced, you'll have to make your way to the very last table, the only place left." Okay, I think you can figure out where I am in the story. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your holy word and how so often it applies to our lives today in ways that surprise us. May we, as we consider this passage this morning, continue to be surprised through the guidance of your Spirit. Amen. When I was a kid, I would go to my grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. Our whole family would. Other family members would gather, and there we would all gather around the big table for the Thanksgiving meal. Well, not quite everybody. The adults sat around the Thanksgiving table. The kids got to sit at the kids' table. You know the kids' table, don't you? It's the folding table that's set up in the room adjacent to the dining room, but within sight of the parents. It's lower in stature and lower in height than the real table that's in the dining room. Around the real table were all the adults and older cousins who were big enough to sit at the adult table. That was the cool place to be. I, of course, was stuck with my younger siblings and younger cousins at the kid table. Oh, how I long to be at the big table. And then one year, I got my wish. I learned that some of my cousins were not coming to the meal this year, and that meant that I, as the oldest of the kids' table kids, would get to move up to the big table. I couldn't wait. On the drive down to my grandma's house, I lectured my younger brother on how he was now in charge of the kids' table because I wouldn't be there anymore. Of course, everything was better at the big table. The plates were nicer, the glasses cooler, the food more abundant. Yes, I was going to be happy at the big table. And we arrived at my grandmother's house just before dinner, and we headed straight to the tables to eat. And I, of course, headed to the big table, where my new, bigger chair awaited. But as soon as I sat down, my grandmother came up to me very nicely and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mark, but you're sitting at the kids' table." I counted the chairs. Instead of leaving the chairs for my absent cousins, she had removed them. My grandmother told me she thought I would have more fun at the kids' table. Maybe if I had read this story from the Gospel of Luke, I wouldn't have been so upset. But I didn't know the story from Luke, and I was embarrassed and very unhappy. And no, I didn't take it out of my brother later. Or maybe I did. I don't remember that part. The story that John read this morning from Luke's gospel, again, focuses on Jesus and eating. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus seems to be preoccupied with eating. There are more references to eating, banquets, tables, and reclining at tables in Luke than in any of the other Gospels. In Luke, we find Jesus eating with the Pharisees and the other high society types, and we find him eating with the tax collectors and the sinners. We also find Jesus using the table as the locus for his teachings. So it shouldn't be surprising that in our passage this morning, we find Jesus eating another meal, this time at a wedding banquet at the home of a leader of the Pharisees. And it certainly appears that it will be quite the high-class party. We aren't told why the Pharisee had invited Jesus to this dinner. It does seem a bit unusual since the Pharisees and Jesus really didn't get along. Maybe this Pharisee just wanted to meet this traveling miracle worker. Maybe he thought he could learn something from this itinerant teacher. Maybe he thought he should keep a closer eye on this potential troublemaker. Or maybe he just wanted to bask in the popularity of this newly discovered hero of the people. We also don't know why Jesus accepted this invitation. Was he trying to hit up the fat cats for some money to keep his ministry going? Maybe he was trying to expand his brand name among the well-to-do. Maybe he just wanted to see what the inside of a big mansion was like. Or maybe in accepting an invitation to the banquet, he was just being polite. Honestly, we don't know. We don't know the why for any of this. We don't know much about the motives here, but what we do know is that the leader of the Pharisees was hosting a big banquet, and Jesus was among all these important people who were invited. And now you can picture this banquet hall or dining room or wherever this thing was held, with a long table down the center. Upon entering, any of the guests would have to choose where to sit at this big table. The challenge in this setting for the text is that it is the setting for Jesus to offer some practical advice, that we all need to be careful where we first choose to sit. Clearly, he has observed some of the other guests who think highly of themselves and were literally elbowing their way to sit near the host, the place of honor in the room. The banquet setting is both a description of the place where the story is taking place, and it is also a metaphor for the kingdom of God. The issue of importance and priority is the issue that's underlying this story in the Gospel of Luke. We spend so much time trying to justify our personal importance of the world. We want to be influencers. We want to have a defined legacy that matters. If anyone suggests otherwise, our sensibilities are insulted. And this desire to be important is with us from an early age. Whether it is where we get to sit at the Thanksgiving meal, or who gets picked first for the pickup baseball game at the sandlot, or who gets invited to the cool party that we all want to be at, or how well your basketball team does or doesn't. We all want to feel important, liked, worthy. In this text, however, it forces us to consider our real place in God's world and whether we are humble enough to accept it. And so I was wondering, can there be both a sense of self-worth and real humility? Jesus seems to suggest that this is possible, but it doesn't feel like it is. It feels like in order to be truly humble, I have to give up something of myself. Perhaps understanding this paradox requires a more complete understanding of the values that Jesus proclaimed. The stories that Jesus at the table throughout the Bible consistently reinforce the notion that Jesus is about the business of feeding people. This is both a physical and spiritual notion. It is the hunger of the people and Jesus for love. And it is Jesus' love for such people that makes them worthy, not their status, not their accomplishment. For Jesus, the point is that there will always be someone of higher status than us, at least by measured by worldly status. And there will always be those born, those for whom the world sees as below us. And we are always struggling to find our place on that continuum. But Jesus upends that continuum. He upends the pecking order. He reminds us that at God's banquet, we all have value. Jesus drives home this point in the parable he tells in the second half of our passage. Here, the host is admonished for who he invites. Where he invited only the other important people in the town, people who can pay him back with some reciprocal act, Jesus points to a different reality. Where those who have no worldly status are invited to God's banquet, they are not invited for their position, their accomplishments, their ability to influence others. They are invited because they belong to God. That alone makes them honored guests. This, of course, was the aim of Jesus' ministry. Jesus turned himself towards those from whom society turned away. As Luke tells us, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. He shares his time and his table with those from whom the folks with conventional values turn away. When we encounter the Jesus of the Bible, he tends to be less concerned about behavior modification and more concerned about meeting the needs and helping the people know how much they are loved by God. And isn't that the point? To know that we are loved by God and to share that knowledge with others, especially with those others that society avoids. If we can figure out how to do that, we'll discover that it doesn't matter where we sit. Every seat is a prime seat at God's table. By the way, the next year I finally got to sit at the big table. And you know what? It wasn't nearly as much fun as I thought. And when the dessert was served that day, I was back at the kids' table having a good time. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We come together in prayer, and as we do, we lift up those who are in particular need of prayer. Let us take a moment and offer our personal prayers to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, hear our prayers. Gracious God, we are confident in your steadfast love for us, shown to us through Jesus Christ and guided in us by the Holy Spirit. And so we pray for the church and the world and all people according to their needs. God of enduring love, give to your church the boldness and persistence of the saints of old to intercede on behalf of those whose hearts are turned away from you. God of enduring love, make known your presence among the lowly, the poor, the immigrant, those suffering from depression, those without help, the sick and the injured, that they might be uplifted and strengthened by your hand. God of enduring love, comfort those who grieve the loss of loved ones, those who fear the world, those who worry about tomorrow, that they might find hope in your arms. God of enduring love, empower your servants in this congregation to pray with persistence on behalf of our members, of our community, and the needs of the world. We pray particularly this day for those names we have spoken out loud and in our hearts, that your love might be shown to them and that your courage and strength might be given to them. Teach us how we might be avenues of that love. And we ask, O Lord, that you teach us to pray and grant to all for whom we pray the good gifts that you have promised through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we have been blessed, so we have the opportunity to bless others as we share in the offering.
Let us pray. Lord, you have been our safety and refuge, but there are many who face these days not knowing the comfort of your grace or the comfort of a home. There are many who face these days not knowing the strength of your love or the strength of an adequate meal. For the sake of those, our brothers and sisters, we ask your blessing upon this offering that we give and all the gifts that we offer. Amen. Now let us join in the prayer taught to us by our Lord, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now in peace, and may the blessings of God be yours this day and every day. Amen.